Today, we're going to hear from a former scholarship athlete. This is the Athletic Scholarship Podcast, episode number 34. Welcome to the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. I'm John Fugler, your recruiting and scholarship expert in episode number 34. And we've got something special for you here. I love to do interviews, and I got one for you today from a former scholarship athlete. So you can hear, whether you're a parent or an athlete, what you're going to hear in the next 15 minutes will indeed change your scholarship future. Because the man I have on the phone right now is Taylor Mathis. Taylor is a former Big Ten scholarship athlete in swimming. And I wanted to have him tell his story that maybe you could relate to that as you go through your journey. And also something that has come out of this, which I am very, very excited about, that I want to announce to you today. Well, it is a Monday night, as a matter of fact. So Taylor and I set this up, and I've got to go ahead and edit this and post this for tomorrow. So I will be a busy bee in the next few hours here. But Taylor, thank you for taking the time with me. I appreciate it.
Not a problem, John. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, you are just, you love helping athletes, high school athletes, and a lot of it has to do with your experience as you went into college as a scholarship athlete, but your story is a little bit different. So maybe just start right off here and just say, hey, Taylor, what was your story in getting a scholarship in college?
So, John, my story was, as you said, I was a swimmer. So I swam all growing up, swam club, swam for my high school, and I knew that I wanted to swim in college. So probably around freshman year or so, I really started to kind of think like, okay, you know, where could I maybe swim in a couple years? And the nice thing about swimming compared to other sports is it's completely objective because everyone does the same distance. All the pools are the same length. So you know the time you're going to go will translate to any pool there is. And college coaches kind of know, okay, if he goes this and 200 free, then I can kind of see where he's going to fit on the team. So it was easier for me that I could get a really good sense of, you know, where I was going to be able to fit in. And the times that I was going, I knew in being in high school that, you know, I'd be able to compete at the Division I level. So I looked at primarily Division I schools, and particularly in the Ivy League starting out.
How many schools did you have on your list when you started out? What was on the radar for you?
It was a long time ago, so I can't remember the exact number, but it was. I started pretty wide. You know, as you talk about casting a wide net, I definitely took that philosophy because I knew all the schools I wanted to potentially go to, but I kind of had to see, like, did they have guys on the team that did my event already, and were those guys significantly faster than me? Because in some situations, you know, they had freshmen on the team who did my event who were finalists at NCAAs, and, you know, that was really going to impact the amount of time that I would get to be in the pool. And then as I did kind of some more research and find out, some teams had travel teams, so they had a limit on how many guys they could bring to meets. So you still would do all that training, and to do all that training and not get to compete in the meet, you know, that's not something that I was really interested in.
Well, Taylor, you hit on something about the fact that you were looking to see who was already competing in your event, who might be a freshman that year, and because you wanted to get some swim time, I guess we call it. And so it's about having the right fit. It doesn't say anything about your ability. You just, maybe one program, it wasn't the right fit because there wasn't a slot for you, but in another program there would be. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. Because kind of the way swimming works in college is the most valuable swimmers to a coach are the sprinters, the guys who can do the short, the 50, the 100, because they can use them on relays, because relays are worth double the points in college, and they're 5 relays at conference championships at NCAAs. So if you're a swimmer who can do an individual event and then turn around and be on 2 or 3 relays, you're very valuable.
Okay, I just got an education. and a lot of our listeners did too.
Unfortunately, that was not my skill set. The shortest event I did was the 200 free, which was the longest relay. So there was no 500 freestyle relay or no mile relay. So I would not be able to bring as many points to the team. So there would not be as many distance freestylers in the program as there would be, you know, like 100 butterflyers or 50 freestylers.
So tell us where you did go as far as you had these schools on your radar, and what was your story? Where did you pursue? What looked like a bright opening? What looked like the opportunities?
So I wanted to, you know, go to the Ivy League and swim. So I actually went on trips, recruiting trips to Harvard and to Princeton. And I had one for Yale and Virginia scheduled also. And after Princeton, I was like, okay, this is the place for me. It's the perfect fit. This is where I want to go. So I told the coach, you know, hey, this is where I want to go. I'm canceling the rest of my trips. You know, I want to be with you guys the next 4 years. So with the Ivy League, they don't have athletic scholarships that you sign. So you still have to go through the admissions department. And the coach gets a list of people, you know, hey, their top picks or whatever. And I was on that list, but there was some confusion. Something happened where I didn't get in like I was supposed to get in. Like the coach told me I was going to get in. You know, I had put all my eggs in this basket, told everybody else no. So
you burned your bridges? You burned your bridges, huh?
I did, yeah. You know, I was respectful in the fact, you know, because I knew I would be seeing these other coaches at meets later on. But, you know, I told them that, you know, I chose a different program. So when I did not get in, I decided, you know, I don't think the Ivy League's for me. You know, I thought I would get in. You know, I just had a change of heart and just realized, you know, maybe I need to be looking somewhere else. So in January of my senior year, I pretty much started the entire process over again.
Man, recruiting take two.
I still had my list of that, you know, that big list I whittled down. But this time I had to also think about who had they signed from my current class too. So I really had to do some more kind of digging of like, okay, where is the right fit for me given, you know, my events and what I could bring to the team versus who needs a distance freestyler. So I went on, I had three more trips left, official trips left. So I went to Indiana, Wisconsin.
Yeah, all right, IU, go Hoosiers. I've got my Indiana blanket sitting right here next to me as we record. Sometimes in my videos, I use it as a backdrop. You didn't go there. I know you didn't.
Bloomington, it's a great town, and you know it was a great program. It just was not the right fit for me. And then I went to Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin, Madison, and Northwestern. And after going to Wisconsin, I kind of knew that was the place. So I went to my Northwestern trip as well, and you know, just to explore all the options that I'd left, and I decided I'm going to go to Wisconsin. So it was, you know, a very, very stressful process because it was something that I thought my senior year, okay, you know, November I declare, then I get in December, and, you know, the second semester I'll just, you know, enjoy my last semester of high school. But no, it was starting the process all over again and going on trips when I thought I was done. But so all in all, it all worked out fine. You know, I loved going to the University of Wisconsin. It was definitely the right fit for me. You know, just my senior year was not quite as I planned, but as I've seen with other people who've gone through the process, you know, it's not always what you intend it to be. But if you focus on what, as you say, the right fit is for you, then you're going to end up at the place that you belong.
Talk about the right fit. What are some of the other things you learned?
You know, a lot of it is kind of, it's like your first job interview in a way. You know, NCAA sports, it's a business. You know, regardless of if you believe athletes should be paid or not, you know, the coach has a team and he is like running a little company. You know, he has a budget with scholarships that he needs to spend to get, you know, certain players or certain people to work for his team. And, you know, it's a lot of it is like the interview process that you go through after college to get a job, you know, where you're sitting down and, you know, talking one-on-one with the coach, finding out, you know, what are they about? What are you about? And kind of seeing if it's the right fit.
Yeah. And as you came through this process and you had a good experience where you were at because you felt it was the right fit. Is that right?
Yeah, I definitely. It was, you know, I think it was the right fit for me. I mean, other than Madison being really, really cold, I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. So, you know, making that adjustment first winter was a little interesting, you know, because for North Carolina, when we have snow, like if we get like an inch, school's out for like 2 days. But Wisconsin, we'd get a foot and I'd be walking to class. So that was the biggest adjustment. But, you know, overall, it was, you know, the school was everything that I was looking for.
Now, I'm excited because through this, over the years, you've been able to help other student athletes since that time, kind of like I went through this with my sons and have been able to help other families. And something grew out of this. Tell us that part of the story.
So from going through this process, and then my brother went through the process, I guess it was like 2 years ago, to play lacrosse. I've got a nephew who's an offensive lineman going through the process now. And, you know, I've just found that, you know, technology has changed and everyone has their phone with them and you have the entire internet on your phone. Coaches have their phone. You know, there's got to be a way for coaches to quickly, you know, look at a recruit and or a prospect and know, are they recruitable? You know, do they check all the boxes? Do they want to continue this relationship? And to be able to, like, keep up with it as this recruit moves through high school. So I've developed a platform called Student Athlete Websites. And what they are is, it's, think of it as, you know, an online profile that's catered exactly towards you. It's got your own personalized domain, and on it is a web page that has all the information that a coach needs to know to decide, hey, I want this person on my team. You can embed your videos on there. You can put your academic information, your athletic information. And what I think is super powerful is having where you're competing. Because with swimming, it being so objective, coaches don't necessarily have to see you compete. But if you're in a subjective sport like football, lacrosse, baseball, basketball, they really need to see you play to have a really good idea of what you're like and if you have the skill sets to play with their team.
What you've created, Taylor, is something that in the last couple of years I was thinking about doing myself, but I looked at the monumental task of putting something like this together and never got around to it. And when you and I got together, you contacted me, I looked at what you're doing, I'm going, that's exactly what I wanted to do, only better. And you've got the technical background as well. In fact, from what I understand, you actually do the maintaining of the student athlete's website. So it's always done right. It always looks good. It's not going to, you know, look kind of quirky and funny, but you'll make the student athlete look good.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to showcase the student athlete to the best of what they have so they can find that right fit. When you get your list of schools that you want to go to and you've really drilled down and you found places that, you know, I like the location of the country. I like the academic offerings that it has. You know, I really like the program's history and I feel like I could be a good fit. When you send it that email out to the coach introducing yourself, you include a link to this site so the coach can see what you're about and they can know that, okay, I really want to add this person to my list of people we're going to be looking at this year.
So listeners, parents, athletes, I really want to encourage you to check out student athlete websites. In fact, Taylor and I have been talking. I want to send as many of my families to him to get the website set up. And athletes, this is your opportunity. And Taylor, I twisted his arm and got a $20 discount off student athlete websites and any product that you would have with him. You're talking with the owner, the founder of this company. So I wanted you to get to know him a little bit. He's got, as you heard, athletic and scholarship experience. He's helped other athletes. And I didn't really have to twist your arm. You actually said, hey, I want to offer the Recruit Me families at $20 off, right?
Yep, that is true.
Okay, that's the truth. That's the truth. Yes, it is. So all you have to do is go to the Recruit Me website. In fact, in the show notes, I have a link where you can check it out. And right there, it'll have a coupon code that you can use and also a link to student athlete websites. And I just want to disclose that Taylor and Student Athlete Websites, I do receive a commission from them and want to be totally open and upfront on that. But I have checked him out. I've checked this company out, and I really would recommend it for you. So it would be worth your while to check it out. I'm excited to make this announcement of this relationship. Taylor, as we come down to the end of this show, man, 15 minutes goes by quickly. Any closing thoughts? I want to get you back on, by the way. We're going to do another show in the future because I got more questions for you. But anything that you would share with the student athlete and the parent right now that is just getting started in this recruiting process?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just to enter it with an open mind. You know, when I started out, I did not know that I would end up at University of Wisconsin, but it was, I can't imagine going to any other place now, looking back on it 10 years ago. So just start with an open mind and start with a big list, you know, and explore other parts of the country, explore, you know, places that you may not have thought originally, and you could surprise yourself in where you end up.
Thanks for taking time with us and letting me announce your student athlete websites. Great place, great resource. And on my website, if you go to recruitme.com and just click the tools button, you'll see more information and the link to student athlete websites. So Taylor, take care, and I hope you get thousands of student athletes on your site so you can help them get the right fit towards an athletic scholarship.
Sounds good. Well, thanks again, John.
Sure, sure. And I want to offer you, our listeners, something I've got for you as well. I've talked about it before. It's the free download on how to get an athletic scholarship. You just go to recruitme.com and click and get that instant download. It'll get you started in the right direction, and you'll also get the 7-day recruiting jumpstart. I'll follow up with you. So you're not just getting the download, but I'll walk you through the critical first 7 days as you explore this recruiting and scholarship process. So that's it for this episode, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.